This is BBC Radio Kent.
Hello, good afternoon. It's 1 o'clock. I'm Peter Stewart. This is a special edition of Kent at One for the conflicts at King's North. Protests and arrests, land and sea. We've got the very latest, what's been happening during the course of the morning on the Hugh Peninsula on BBC Radio Kent.
BBC Radio Kent. Breaking news.
Well, protesters always said it was going to be an assault on Kent's King's North power station by land, air and sea. And some of that is seemingly starting to come true. The climate change campaigners started gathering in a field on the Hugh Peninsula just over a week ago with around 1,500 protesters in total. It was all leading up to today, a day of direct action to oppose plans for a new generation coal power station to be built next to the existing plant. There are reports that around 20 campaigners have managed to get into the plant. We'll bring you the very latest between now and 1:30 with me and the team who are there on the Hugh Peninsula and here in the Radio Kent studio, including my colleague Justin Stacey.
Good afternoon, Peter. As we've been saying, a four-pronged attack to reach the power station includes a flotilla of rafts crossing the River Medway, the so-called Blue Group. The second group of campaigners and their families, dubbed the Orange Group, plans to lead a procession to its main gate. While a third, the Greens, aims to reach it through the undergrowth, and a fourth, we understand, the Silver Group, aims to make a secret air approach. Four demonstrators trying to launch a boat into the River Medway have been arrested by Kent Police. Officers said 13 people were held on Friday. Five were charged with obstruction, one with possession of a bladed article, and one with a public order offence. It takes the total number of people arrested since the protest started to more than 50.
OK, well, during the course of this next half hour, we're going to be hearing from some of our reporters who are there on the Hugh Peninsula. We've got Alex Ward in the radio car, and she's been working in cooperation with Georgina Meir there as well. Also, we've got some of our colleagues from BBC South East Today as well. Mark Norman is over there, and also we're going to be speaking with Simon Longprice. Now, Simon has been on the River Medway. Where protesters have reached the far eastern perimeter of the power station by river. There are police on the shoreline and also launches belonging to the Kent, Met and Essex forces. That's what's being called the Blue River Group of protesters. And that approach was organised for noon earlier on this afternoon. Four demonstrators taking part in that climate camp protest have been arrested while trying to launch a boat onto the Medway there. They were held at Upnor after Medway Ports Authority issued a special direction to prevent a planned raft regatta. The Medway Port Authority harbour master announced on Thursday, you'll remember, that he wouldn't give permission to any procession or regatta to take place under river bylaws because of safety concerns. Well, as I say, Simon Longprice has been our reporter on board the boat Jupiter with other BBC colleagues. And just a few moments ago, before we came on air with this Kent at One special, I spoke with him and asked him about what exactly did happen at 12 o'clock.
Well, it was shortly after 12 o'clock that the police helicopter moved its attention, well, I presume was landside the gates of the King's North to Riverside. I was stationed just about 300 yards from the eastern perimeter on the river, and a number of protesters were right up against the fence. I'd say from line of sight it was about 30. We couldn't get any closer because the water was getting a bit shallow, but 30 protesters had either made it across the fields and along the mud up to the perimeter, or they'd made it all the way along the mud up to the perimeter. On the other side of the perimeter fence, which was which is a transparent mesh, there was a lot of police officers waiting for anybody who actually breached the fence. Now, like I say, that was that is a mesh fence, and so transparent, and so I couldn't tell at the distance I was whether anybody actually breached the fence. I don't think they did. I think they were kept at bay, and after about 15 minutes they began to disperse, but certainly they did reach the eastern perimeter fence, and the police had to focus their activities there.
And Simon, what do we know about arrests that came out of that particular incident?
That happened not so long ago, Peter, and you're better off landside to get an answer on that. Like I said, we were at some distance. I don't know whether any arrests were made because the police were one side of the fence and the protesters were on the other, but the police helicopter certainly followed them as they dispersed.
Now, Simon, you've been on board that boat Jupiter during the course of the morning and you've seen some other rafts taken to the Medway, haven't you?
Yes, we have seen some rafts taken to the Medway. They were most of them were jerry built. They were built from pallets and plastic drums that were lashed to the bottom of the pallets. And there were upwards of 20 at least that I saw, maybe 30. My attention was diverted really at one point for about an hour because one of those craft broke up in front of our very eyes and we had to rescue the people from the water.
Simon Longprice on BBC Radio Kent reporting from the River Medway on board the boat Jupiter. If you want to see some more of those pictures about the craft that Simon was describing there, you go to bbc.co.uk/Kent and also watch BBC One South East Today at 5:20 a little bit later on this afternoon. I'm Peter Stewart, Kent at One special, 6 minutes past that hour. Now, Justin Stacey.
Thanks, Peter. Now, our reporter Alex Ward is out in our BBC Radio Kent radio car with our colleague Georgina Meir. Now, Alex, I understand you've seen the orange group of protesters march past you. What was their mood like?
Justin, it's been a real morning of contrast, really, because we've seen both the Greens and the orange group. We're here in a field just on Stoke Road, and this is part of the route which the orange group took later on in the morning. And it just started raining as they reached the point where we are. So it was very happy, very jovial. There was music playing. This was always pegged as, if you like, the event for families, those with children, perhaps older people, those who wanted to express their opposition to the power station but didn't want to take the direct action which the Green group was aiming at. And we saw them pass through, and from what I could see, they were flanked at the front and the back by mounted police officers, by larger police vehicles and by police cars. So there was a police presence there. They were certainly moving more fluidly than the march we saw last Sunday, where there was a fair amount of stop-start. They've gone down now to the gates of the power station, and we can't actually get down too far by vehicle, but I'm told by colleagues who are there that still the atmosphere is very good. Some minor concerns about the role the police have played, but now they're making public addresses. It's got the atmosphere of a rally, if you like, and they're down there and quite content to be taking part in the way that they are.
There's a group of about six of us here, and we were stopped by the police. A couple of us were stopped and searched, so we got left behind by the main group. And as we were walking along, just the six of us, another couple were coming back the other way, and they had visible kind of forehead wounds of bleeding going down. So they were going back to the camp to get medical attention, and they were saying that they'd been, I think it was this road actually. They said they were trying to cross the road to the power station, and the police said they couldn't. And then as they ran through, they said about half the people got through, but the police were attacking them with batons, and so about half turned back. So I wasn't there, but that's what I know about it. That's what I was told.
But Justin, those comments from showing the other side of it, and that was a protester called Sean Chamberlain. I met him earlier. He was with that. We saw one group of 20 protesters go through, and they were going through quite rapidly, looking quite determined. We didn't have much of a chance. They didn't really want to speak to us. They wanted to get on. But then we met this second group, and Sean was the gentleman you just heard from. He was going down not to actually try to get into the power station, but to just support those who were. And those were his concerns about the level of involvement the police had. Well, here with me is another member of the Green group, Stuart Brown, who's an accountant from Manchester, came down a few days ago to take part. Now, Stuart, you were a member of the Green group. What were you setting out to do this morning?
Well, when we left the camp, we were hoping to get as close as we could to the perimeter fence and hopefully to get inside the power station. And that would hopefully cause the E.ON to shut their power station down for a period and for us to make our point about new coal-fired power stations.
And what was the situation that you actually found? How far did you get, and what opposition were you met with?
Well, it was quite a struggle. It took us about 2 hours to actually get down to the perimeter fence. When we did finally get there, we met up with another group of people and we decided that we were going to try and climb the fence. We did that by putting up fence panels from a movable fence and climbing over, and a large number of people did that. But of course, there was a second fence inside, an electrified second fence, so a smaller number of people got over that.
So some did get in, but you didn't. Yeah. We've been hearing about, through the week, really, from police safety concerns and from Eon saying a power station isn't a safe place to be. We heard earlier from a protester who was over quite a long drop by the sounds of it. What were your worries about safety? Did you do any sort of hazard assessment?
People have been looking around the site and looking at the ways that we could get in that were going to be safer for us. But basically, what we have to think about is the larger issue around climate change and whether how safe is that for future generations. And if we have to take some action that might put ourselves at slight risk, then that's what we're prepared to do.
Finally and briefly, you didn't achieve your personal objective of getting into the power station, but you were nonetheless quite close. Do you feel disappointed, or do you feel you've still achieved something?
No, I think I'm happy that, as your previous speaker was saying, basically, if one person gets in, that's what we've aimed to do, and we've come here to make our point, and hopefully through shows like this, people will get to hear a bit more about Kings North and about the fact that there is a new power station planned and that there are people who don't want it.
Well, Justin, half the day of action over, but the afternoon yet to come, and really difficult to gauge what's going to happen. It's very hard to explain that while you're here, you don't really know who anybody is. You're not even sure anymore whether people are local residents or whether they're protesters. You get bits of information filtering through, but there's still a sense of apprehension, even though half the day has gone, as to what's going to happen next.
Alex, we've heard throughout the day little rumours of skirmishes with the police. Have you seen any evidence of that? Have you witnessed anything like that today?
I haven't seen, and I'm only one pair of eyes from one vantage point, but although I've seen the protesters, if you like, interacting with police officers, I haven't seen anything that I would call either aggressive or that's really given me any cause for concern. I think the most interaction I saw was when the Orange Group were passing through, actually while I was on air. About three or four people broke away from that group and were walking across the field that we're in here, and there is a public footpath across this field, so on a normal day no one would challenge them doing that, I believe, and some mounted officers actually came around and, if you like, intercepted them, headed them off, and then some officers on foot came and joined them, and there was obviously a debate and a discussion going on, but I didn't hear any raised voices, I didn't see any aggression, I didn't see any tempers flare, and in the end they were sort of turned around and rejoined the route that they were on. Obviously it's very difficult because we're hearing reports like that one that we heard earlier from one of the protesters that there has been a bit more force used. I think a lot of it is personal perspective as well. What one person finds aggressive, someone else would find not so intimidating. We've heard from the gate, someone I was speaking to earlier said, oh, they've had horses charging at them. Well, that doesn't really seem to have been backed up by anyone I've spoken to who's at the gate now, but it's very hard to get an overview, just as geographically it's very hard to see everything that's going on at the same time. It's also very hard to gauge a mood based on just one person's opinion.
Okay, Alex, thank you very much. That's Alex Ward reporting live from our radio car at King's North. Peter.
Thank you. That's Justin Stacey. I'm Peter Stewart, and this is a special edition of Kent at One, 30 minutes past one. As we've been hearing, the protesters say their intention is to shut down that power plant at King's North. But how realistic is that? Joining us on the line now is Jonathan Smith from the company Eon, the company that owns the site. Jonathan, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hello.
You knew this was going to happen. You don't obviously give too much away, but what kind of plans did the company make? Did you beef up security there?
We have obviously increased security, and that's both in terms of security officers on the sites and also physical security as well. And as you may be aware, we've also taken out a High Court injunction on various key operational areas of the site as well, which just gives the police a little bit more authority as well.
So are you able to reassure people in Kent this lunchtime that their electricity, their power, is not going to be cut off this weekend?
It's not just down to King's North Power Station for that, I'm afraid. There's nobody inside King's North Power Station. As far as I'm aware, as I speak to you now, it's generating as normal. Fundamentally speaking, even if they were successful, and we don't believe that they will be today, there would still be other power stations to take up the slack. So we shouldn't be seeing any power cuts as a result of King's North. But there are other factors involved, such as the local distribution network, for example. So it's not just all about King's North.
I know, in a strange way, you actually have sympathy, don't you? A bit of understanding of the protesters and what they're trying to do.
No, absolutely. You know, we firmly believe that, that climate change is one of the greatest threats to face the planet at the moment. And we would absolutely support their right to protest peacefully. It's when you hear people who are, breaking down fences and trying to break into our power station. You know, that is not protesting peacefully. And we really would argue that not only is that not the right way to go about this sort of thing, it's also putting you in danger as well. You know, if you get inside a power station and you don't know what you're doing, it can be a very dangerous place indeed.
Okay, but they have managed to get through that outer perimeter fence, haven't they?
Yes, we've had some people through the outer perimeter fence. We now believe that they've all been cleared by the police, and we're pretty much back to where we were at stage one. That's the idea about why we beefed up security. You know, we've been working very closely with Kent Police to try and get that extra security in place to try and make their life easier and their job easier, because it's an extraordinary day today. It's a very tricky day, and we're trying to help as best we can.
You're saying an extraordinary day. The protesters have been saying that they want to approach King's North by land. We've seen that. By sea, we've seen that. By air, that's still missing at 16 minutes past one.
Yeah, we've certainly seen nothing like that, and there's a really, really serious safety aspect with that as well. Clearly, there are some very high-voltage power lines coming out of King's North. Electricity can actually jump gaps. You know, if you're flying a kite near an overhead line, you can be electrocuted, and there is an awful lot of power in there. It's around about 400,000 volts. You know, that's what, 40 times how much you have in your house. You know, if you're flying something near overhead power lines, it's just crazy.
Okay, Jonathan Smith from E.ON, thanks very much indeed for joining us on BBC Radio Kent.
You're listening to a special edition of Kent at One here on BBC Radio Kent. The time just gone 16 minutes past one. With the travel, here's Paul Murphy. Paul Murphy has the travel here on BBC Radio Kent, we hope.
OK, we've got a few problems bringing you that travel information. However, let's cross over to one of our other colleagues, and here's Rachel Grant. We're going to be speaking with Rachel in a few moments' time about what you can see on our website with all the background information, the timeline, the pictures and some specially filmed reports from BBC Southeast Today from the past week about what has been happening at King's North over the past 10 days and also what's happening there today. And this is Peter Stewart. So we said a few moments ago that you can find some more information about what we're talking about on this special edition of Kent at One on our website. That is, of course, bbc.co.uk/Kent. And Rachel Grant from that website joins me in the studio now to give me a bit more of an idea of exactly what's on there. Rachel, what have you been putting together this morning?
Well, we've been bringing together all the images from the television reporters, and we've got the latest information of what's happening on news articles. We've also got photographs coming through, and we've been able to put together galleries. I went down to the camp yesterday, saw some of the what's going on inside the camp and some clashes with the police. So we've got photographs of that. You can see it all at bbc.co.uk/Kent, or it's on our front page at news.bbc.co.uk.
And on Southeast Today, during the course of the week, over the past 10 days, our reporters Richard Smith and Mark Norman have been putting together special reports for the TV, and you can access those as well, I understand.
Some of them are available. If you go to just click on the our headline story today, which is about the King's North, and there's lots of links there to the background stories, what's been happening during the week.
Okay, Rachel, thank you very much indeed for that. And, of course, remind us of that website again. What is the full address?
news.bbc.co.uk while it's hitting the national headlines.
Okay, Rachel, thank you very much.
Kent at One on BBC Radio Kent.
And our top story this lunchtime, the protesters planned that their threat to shut down Kent's King's North power station would take place by land, air and sea. Already four boatloads of activists setting off down the river from the power station have been intercepted. Coast Guards and police pulled them ashore, and 20 protesters in life vests are now being questioned. Up to 1,400 police officers from 26 forces across the country have been drafted in since the environmental protests started last Sunday. And they've extended stop and search powers to help them police today today's event. And around 20 environment protesters have broken through the fence at King's North Power Station in their attempt to shut the plant down.
OK, Justin, Stacey, thank you for that. Those closing headlines on that special edition of Kent at One. I'm Peter Stewart. More through the afternoon and, of course, at bbc.co.uk/Kent. And join our colleagues, won't you, on BBC One at 5:20 on BBC One. This is Kent's radio station. It's just before 3 o'clock. Good afternoon, I'm Peter Stewart. More than a dozen environment protesters have broken through the outer perimeter fence at King's North Power Station here in Kent. They were stopped before they got inside the plant. At its height, 600 activists were demonstrating outside the gates about plans to build a new coal-fired power station on the site. Reporter Ben Ando has been describing what he's seen at the sites.
A small group did manage to get through one of the perimeter fences here. However, we understand they were stopped getting any further. Now, when I was down there, adjacent to the gate where the main body of protesters marched up towards earlier on, it was quite clear that security was being taken very seriously indeed. There were large numbers of police outside the perimeter fence, but inside there were large numbers of E.ON's own security personnel. Many of them had dogs with them as well.
Well, Ben also says the protesters appear to have failed in their attempt to shut the power station down, but a group of hardcore demonstrators have remained.
Right now, the latest information I have is that there's a small group of maybe 20 or 30 demonstrators still sitting at a gate that's near the front gate of the power station, but the vast majority of the 2,000 or so marchers who marched from the camp this morning to the power station have now gone back to the climate camp.
But after attending a series of workshops for the past week, the campaigners today split into four groups for their mass day of action, where they said they will enter King's North by land, sea and air. 600 people assembled outside the power station's main gates after taking part in a march from the campsite around 2.5 miles away. Waving banners and playing musical instruments, the procession of men and women and children took about 2 hours to walk to the power station, accompanied by a heavy police presence. Well, we've also been speaking to some of those protesters, and these ones who marched to the front gates of the station had full support for those who were trying to enter the premises.
I'm very proud of them, and I wish them the best of luck, and I think it's great that they actually managed to get into the fence.
Different people have different levels of what they feel is, like, personally their barrier. I agree that those people, if they want to take direct action, then they feel free to do so. I think having different people in a movement strengthens the movement.
Some of our friends have tried to make it into the power station, so we really hope they've been successful. We really hope that they kind of haven't, you know, put themselves in any danger, but at the same time they've, you know, made a stand for what they believe in. I think that's really important.
Well, as part of our team coverage, our reporter Georgina Meir is there with our mobile studio. George, who have you been speaking to this afternoon?
Well, I've been speaking, as you were saying, Peter, to those camped outside the gates of the power station. Now, they're all in very high spirits, and the general feeling was that they were very pleased with how today has gone. They're very pleased. I think they got their point across in a peaceful way. There was lots of celebrations. You were mentioning their music and banners, and people all dressed up and really in very good spirits. And as we heard, they were very much in support of the activists who had gone into the site. Some had chosen not to do so and wanted to stay outside, but still supporting them. There was some concern. The police did ask them to move on, and they were given a bit of a 10-minute warning. This is what we've heard. I didn't actually hear it myself, but the members that I spoke to said they were told to move on. All the horses and the dogs would be sent in. Indeed, they were ready there and waiting. But most people did move on eventually, and I guess it was slightly sodden and very slow walk back to camp, but I imagine most of those hundreds of people are back at climate camp now.
Well, George, I'm wondering whether perhaps people are dispersing now from the camp and perhaps making their way home, because today was the day of action. It's 3 o'clock. Some people have been protesting, and it's raining. Are they leaving the site now?
Well, I think some of them that I spoke to, they did seem to feel that they'd got their message across. They were very happy with the way it had gone, and they would go back to their homes but carry on working to get that message across. And I think that a lot of people did seem to be heading back, and I think the rain might just have helped them on their way as well.
Georgina Meir, part of our team coverage, thank you very much indeed for joining us.